And Galtier was pretty straightforward after the press conference. He said, when you have a player like Lionel Messi, you have to play for him. You have to concede him a few things, i.e. allow him not to defense. And you have to be able to sort of like make up for what he doesn't do, because when he has the ball, wherever it is, he can create some magic. Galtier even said, like, texto, as soon as you recover the ball needs to go straight away to Leo Messi, because he can create the danger out of nowhere. And he's the one player that we have to look for onto the team. I don't know how Mbappe and Neymar would feel about that. I mean, I'm sure they have a good relationship with Lionel Messi, and he is a spectacular player. But I don't know how I feel about saying that you have to always go through one player whenever you get the ball. Anyway, bonjour everyone, and welcome back to Casser les Lignes, the French football podcast with the accent. I'm your host, Jérémy Magan, and as usual, Casser les Lignes is brought to you by Breaking the Lines, curated football opinion. Jump in the website, breakingtheline.com, to read about the latest articles, whether it's the Wolfsburg style of life under new coach Niko Kovac, or article on Maxime Choupo-Moting, Amadou Onana, or Armand Lorienté. There's a little bit for everyone. And of course, as usual, listen to the podcast on the Breaking the Lines media, whether it's my French football podcast that I keep posting every single week, rambling about French football, or Corta Linha, the Portuguese football podcast, with, of course, Zach Lawi as the main host. Today, we look at Gameway 22. Of course, this week in Ligue 1, there was Gameway 21 and match day. What does Gameway mean? Match day 22 and match day 21 were played this week. And a bit has happened. And I think the result of the bit that has happened is that Paris Saint-Germain is slowly but surely increasing their advance at the top of the league. Lens couldn't win any of the two games. Marseille won against Nantes, but then lost just this morning in Australia to Nice. Rennes also struggling to get results consistently, which means that Paris Saint-Germain nicely has secured their 8-point lead now over Marseille and Lens. And the winners of those little tribulations of the top teams are Monaco and Lille, who are slowly creeping out. And we should not forget Nice, who's having a great run with 13 points in the last five games. Anyway, we're going to talk about all this. Game week 21, quickly touching on it, and game week 22, a little bit more, and the 2-3 games that are important. There's stuff going on at Nice, at Lyon, a little bit at Paris as well, of course, as every single week. We'll get through all this in this episode of Casser les Lignes, but first, music. Paris Saint-Germain won in Montpellier 3-1 with, I think the major thing was Kylian Mbappe's injury, who will be out up until potentially the first game against Bayern Munich. At least that's what the club announced. In other results, Lorient lost against Reims with a hat-trick from Falarin Balogun, the player on loan from Arsenal. And of course, everybody start talking about Will Steele at Reims for his incredible run of unbeaten game right now, whether it was at Paris last week, that win against Lorient, and still this weekend, a result that, you know, could have been better, but, you know, as long as they don't lose, you'll take it. 0-0 against Auxerre over the weekend. Toulouse beat 3-4-1. Ajaccio got a crucial win in Angers 2-1. Lille and Clermont drew 0-0. Marseille won in Nantes 2-0. Lens was surprised at home by Nice, and they're not the only one being surprised by Nice. Nice won away 1-0. Lyon and Brest drew 0-0. Rennes, unfortunately, was merciless against Strasbourg 3-0. And Monaco battled out to see off Auxerre 3-2. Those were the game day 21 results. And then this weekend, we had game day 22. And we'll kind of jump straight into it, and we'll go to Paris first. Paris was playing against Toulouse at home to open the game week, to open the weekend, and Paris won 2-1. The goal scorer Achraf Hakimi at the 38th minute and Lionel Messi at the 58th minute. Toulouse had been the first one to score by Branko van den Boomen, a nice free kick from van den Boomen that Donnarumma, in my opinion, should have been able to save, but we will go back to the Italian goalkeeper in a second. PSG with 22 shots, 5 on target. Toulouse with 12 shots, 5 on target as well. The position was for Paris, 62 percent, but a game that was quite disputed. The pass accuracy on both sides, I kind of like to look at those things. Paris Saint-Germain 88% and Toulouse 85%. Not a lot of teams are going to have 400 passes and an 85% completion rate at the Parc des Princes, but that's what Toulouse did. Look at Paris. Look, what can I say? It's I'm going to sound like a broken record. It's tough to watch. It doesn't look Champions League ready, but it is what it is. With Mbappé injured, the team that that Galtier lined up, of course, Sergio Ramos got injured as well. So the team lined up by Galtier was Donnarumma in defense, Hakimi, Marquinhos, Danilo Pereira, and Nuno Mendes was the back four. And then Renato Sanchez, who got injured 50 minutes in, was the number six. He was replaced by Bichi Abu, and I kind of changed the team a little bit into some sort of a 3-5-2 in defensive phases. Soler and Ruiz were in the middle behind Vitinha. I'm not a big fan of Vitinha as a number 10. And then Messi and Ekitike were playing up front. And Galtier was pretty straightforward after the press conference. He said, when you have a player like Lionel Messi, you have to play for him. You have to concede him a few things, i.e. allow him not to defend. And you have to be able to sort of like make up for what he doesn't do, because when he has the ball, wherever it is, he can create some magic. Galtier even said, like, texto, you, as soon as you recover the ball needs to go straight away to Leo Messi, because he can create the danger out of nowhere. And he's the one player that we have to look for onto the team. I don't know how Mbappé and Neymar would feel about that. I mean, I'm sure they have a good relationship with Lionel Messi, and he is a spectacular player. But I don't know how I feel about saying that you have to always go through one player whenever you get the ball. Anyway, that's what happened on the weekend. It worked out well, of course, because Messi scored. Hakimi scored the other one. Hakimi got the assist for Messi as well. But it's okay that Paris Saint-Germain win, and it's to win this week after the success in Montpellier that they needed, because, you know, they were not on a great run. That draw against Reims, that loss against Rennes, that loss against Lens. So they needed to find a way to bounce back. They did. The way that they win is still not what you expect from Paris Saint-Germain, but I guess at least they get the 3 points. They're starting now a bit of a hell run. Midweek, they're playing Marseille in the French Cup. At the end of the week, they are going to Monaco on that Sunday, early Sunday, and then on early Saturday. And then next week, of course, Paris is playing against Bayern Munich in Champions League, and then they face Lille at the end of the weekend. They'll have a week break, then they'll play in Marseille, and then Bayern Munich again, and they'll finish that long run with a game against Nantes. So it's going to be a big month of February for Paris Saint-Germain. So even though it wasn't beautiful against Toulouse, the win was crucial. It's interesting to see what they're going to do in that French Cup. You know, you're playing against on three competitions. Are you going to let go of one? It's great that they got the 8 points on the table, though, because that's going to give them a little bit of air to breathe. But yeah, playing twice at the Vélodrome and playing teams that are in top form like Monaco and Lille, it's probably not Paris would have loved to while they play Bayern Munich in the Champions League. But they got the 3 points. They are 8 points away. And good for them. I like what I saw from Toulouse. But unfortunately, they couldn't get a result at the Parc des Princes. The second game that was played this weekend was Troyes against Lyon. Another one that is worth spending a little bit of time on. So Lyon won 3-1. In Troyes, the Troyes coached by Australian national Kees Norbo, who's struggling a little bit. It's hard to play. I think it's hard to coach a team like Troyes with the players that they've have. Anyway, Lyon won 3-1. The goal scorer Bradley Barcola at the 43rd minute. Ryan Cherki at the 59th minute. Ronny Lopez tried to bring Troyes back at the 62nd minute. And Lacazette hammered the last nail in the coffin at the 93rd minute. What is common to the three goal scorers of Lyon, Barcola, Cherki, and Lacazette? Well, they're all from the Lyon Academy, and that is something that is coming back. You know, it's of course, it's always what you talk about when you talk about Lyon, the Lyon DNA, the young players coming from the academy, how great the academy is, from Ben Arfa back in the days to now Tolisso, Lacazette, Kakere, Cherki, Diomande, Barcola now is slowly coming up, Malo Gusto, who just signed for Chelsea but is finishing the season with Lyon. We always talk about the players that are from in Lyon. Well, it looks like Laurent Blanc is slowly but surely resting on those players, he probably found a way to connect a bit more with them than he did with the other player. Of course, Lyon sort of cleaned up a little bit during the winter mercato. They got rid of Toko Ekambi. They tried to get rid of Dembele, but it didn't work out. Dembele didn't get in, though, mind you. And so they made a bit of room. Tete is gone as well. Favre is gone. And so they basically kind of brought the focus back on Lyon player. They got Lovren back, who used to play for Lyon. But if you look at the team right now that was playing against Troyes, Anthony Lopez, who's been there forever, Mal Augusto, trained at Lyon, Diomande, Lyon Academy, Lovren, who used to play for Lyon before, Taliafico, who just joined, but obviously Taliafico is such a dog, you always want to have him in your team. Tolisso, Lyon product, Kakere, Lyon product, Cherki, Lyon product, Le Penant, who is a young player coming from Caen, but he's coming to Lyon just 20 years old, so he's finishing to be trained at Lyon. And then up front, Lacazette and Barcola, Lyon product. So Lyon is back to what they do the best for the past 20 years. When it works, it's always worked through Lyon Academy players. They're trying to get back to that. It's not all beautiful what we are seeing from Lyon right now, but it is better. There is definitely a bit more intensity than what we saw at the beginning of the season. They are ninth on the table, so we don't have to get too excited about what they do yet. But, you know, Barcola is a striker, you know, comparison to Dembele or Toko Ekambi. He's a striker that runs a lot, that is pretty selfless. Great that he got a goal. Great that he's getting the opportunity to actually start, because he's done a lot of sort of like cameos since the beginning of the season. I'm pretty happy to see Corentin Tolisso getting some regular, consistent starts, minutes, and not getting injured. There's a reason why he's a 2018 world champion with France. He's a very, very strong midfielder. There's a reason why Bayern Munich snatched him from Lyon back then. He can do almost everything from as a deep-lying playmaker. Defensively, he's also pretty strong. So seeing him actually playing and actually giving, you know, the minutes and not having any health issues is I think, great to see and can only be beneficial for Lyon. Ryan Cherki playing as a number 10 role is probably where we need to see Ryan Cherki. And he's been a bit freer the past 3-4 games, and it's worked out well for him. He scored this weekend. So Lyon is one of the teams that we want to keep an eye on. They're going to face some real tests in the next week. Because in the French Cup, they're playing against Lille on Wednesday night, Thursday morning here in Australia. And then on the weekend, they're facing Lens at the Groupama Stadium. So those two games will give us, a bit more indication of where Lyon sits as far as their development since Laurent Blanc took over. Laurent Blanc, in the press conference after the game, said that he could tell that the work is paying off, that the team is... He said the team is bringing much, 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 much more intensity. I don't think it's that many matches were needed, but it is more. It is better than what it was before. But mind you, he was starting from so low that anything would have been better than how Lyon was playing before the World Cup break. Good for them. It's in the week. It's 2 wins and 1 draw. They beat Ajaccio last week. They drew against Brest and now they beat Troyes. They needed this after that pretty shameful loss to Strasbourg at home. So hopefully they can keep that run going. But in the meantime, the youth at Lyon seems like they're back, seems that like taking over. And we are here for it. We like when Lyon play with their youth. The third game played on the weekend was probably the most entertaining game of the weekend. Rennes against Lille. And Rennes, who got surprised at Roazhon Park, they thought that they had played a number on Lille and then they just couldn't resist the waves. I mean, Guiri scored after a few seconds, an unfortunate back pass from Loro, the young Lille defender, was intercepted by Guiri, who then was able to put the ball past Chevalier after 27 seconds, if I'm not mistaken. But then after that, Lille took over and pushed and pushed and pushed, and we didn't see much of Rennes. And finally, Lille got rewarded at the 59th minute, by Edon Jegrova. His first goal in a year at Lille. I think his last goal was like in April 2022, his first goal of the season for sure. And Rémi Cabella finally gave his team the advantage at the 85th minute before André Gomes finished the job at the 94th minute. Those two goals by Cabella and Gomes came for assist from Jegrova, who had a complete game on Sunday night. What does that mean, though, for Rennes is that they were not able to keep that result and that they're seeing Lille closing out on them at the table. And I don't know if Genesio is worried yet, but we knew that with, you know, Terrier getting injured, Traoré getting injured, losing players like this at one point, you're going to see it happening on your team. And Toko Ekambi didn't have a great game. He's still, you know, sort of like largely cheered on by the Rennes fan base, but not as good as you expect it to be. Théan Santamaria kind of struggled against Angel Gomez and Benjamin André to be able to put up with them physically. And Rennes really kind of stopped playing after they scored the goal early on, which is not what you should do against a team like Lille, who loves to play football. You know, Lille, since the beginning of the season, has said they're one of the teams who plays the best football. They just struggle to find the end product. They struggle in the final third, and they haven't scored nearly as enough as they should have. And it's in part because Jonathan David hasn't been that efficient, but it's also in part because they have struggled to find the right, you know, the right combination up front. So at first, it was Jonathan Bamba. On the right, he was Unas, and on top, he was David. And then on number 10, they tried a little bit everyone. At one point, it was Gomez and Benjamin André as two number six. Angel Gomez, I'm saying, and André Gomez a bit up front. And now André Gomez and Angel Gomez have switched around. David was playing 10 and Bayo up front, but then Bayo kind of like was less informed, so they changed again. Unas is injured. Jegrova gets in. They try to play Chimo Chiwea. I don't know if they have found yet what their starting 11 needs to be, but I think David is better as a number 10 than he is as a striker. Then is it Bayo who's playing up front, or is it Angel Gomez who's going to play further forward? I'm not sure, because we kind of liked Angel Gomez when he was at the number 6 next to Benjamin André. So Paulo Fonseca still has a little bit to sort out. It was great to see them playing at the Roazhon Park, though. It was great to see how well they developed that second goal. The goal from Rémi Cavella was actually solid. An interception early, 1-2. You open on the side, a little bit of a dummy, pass from Jegrova, and then Cavella able to finish. It's good to see Lille playing like this. We know that they can play like this. It's about, can they do it consistently? They found the way to score 3 goals. They need to keep doing it, basically, because on the table right now, it's getting tighter. That win against Rennes allows them to come back only 2 points behind Rennes. So Lille is definitely a team to see. For Rennes, it's a little bit of a roller coaster. It's a loss, a win, a loss, a win, a loss in the past 5 games. And of course, Genesio would love a little bit more consistency. Will they find it? It's another question. But that means that they're seeing Lille coming back, Lorient coming back, Nice coming back. And they're saying Monaco flying away 4 points ahead of them. Lens is 6 points ahead. Marseille is 6 points ahead. And of course, Paris is now 14 points away from Rennes. Rennes needs to wake up, and they need to wake up now. Strasbourg got their second clean sheet of the season. I think we have to celebrate for Strasbourg. A win against Montpellier, 2-0. Habib Diallo at the first and at the 45th minute, scoring the 2 goals. Despite Aoulou getting red card at the 33rd minute, so Strasbourg played a whole hour down to 10 men, they were able to cling on that clean sheet and to keep that result. Mind you, Montpellier did not do a shot on target. That helps. You know, winning games if the team against you can't even put one on target. Good win for Strasbourg. They needed that. They need to try and get out of that back four. They are right now 17th with 18 points. They are back 2 points behind Montpellier, 1 point behind Troyes. The battle between Brest at 20, Montpellier at 20, Troyes 19, Strasbourg and Ajaccio 18 points each, Auxerre 14 and Angers 9 is going to be huge. Auxerre and Angers, they look like they're a little bit too below to be able to come back, but from Ajaccio to Brest, those 2 points within 5 teams, when we know 4 teams are getting relegated, are going to make those last 16 games is left very, very interesting. I haven't watched the game, if I'm completely honest, but it's great to see that Strasbourg gets another clean sheet. A game that I did watch was Marseille-Nice this morning in Australia, last night if you're anywhere else in the world, and Nice, who won 3-1 at the Stade Vélodrome, putting an end to that run of 10 games, 11 games, I think, even undefeated from Marseille. The goal scorer, Sofiane Diop, at the 38th minute. Gaëtan Laborde at the 44th. Malinowski scored at the 60th minute, and Marseille started pushing. But Bilal Brahimi with a sumptuous goal at the 85th minute against the grain of the game, was able to put the final nail on the coffin. That's my expression of the day. Marseille shot 22 times, only 5 on target, though 14 shots for Nice, 8 on target. The game would have finished 4-4. No one would have said anything. There were so many opportunities either side. 58% possession for Marseille, but not Marseille, just not as in control as we've seen them in recent games. And it might be because the starting lineup was different. You had Paulo Lopez in goals, you had Balerdi, Gigot and Mbemba in defense, but then from there on, Klose and Tavares, the two wing backs. The midfield, Veretout was rested and it was Rongier, Guendouzi, and in front of them, Under, Payet and Vitinha. And we've seen the difference when you have a player like Guendouzi instead of a Veretout, a Vitinha instead of an Alexis Sanchez, and a Payet instead of a Malinovsky, even because the intensity is not the same, the runs aren't the same, the ability to control the ball in the midfield is not the same, and they've paid it, and they've paid it pretty harshly. 2-0 at halftime, both goals from Nice coming from shots that Paulo Lopez was able to stop but deflected back onto a Nice player, and then both Diop and Laborde were quick enough to finish, quick enough and also faster than the Marseille defense was pretty passive and wasn't exempt of any mistake on those two goals. On the first goal, Mbemba could have put Diop offside from like 4 yards, but decided to follow him. On the second goal, nobody runs onto Laborde. And then on the third goal from Brahimi, you think that Balerdi should have shut him down a little bit earlier. What that meant, though, that 2-0 at halftime, is that Tudor got Payet out, got Vitinha out, and then got in Malinovsky and Alexis Sanchez, and it was a bit of day and night, the game in first half and the second half. Marseille really took over. Klaus really gets along well with Under, and Alex Sanchez, Malinovsky got in there as well, scored his first goal for Marseille, but too little too late. Alex Sanchez had 1, 2, maybe 3 opportunities to score. Once he misses the target, twice we see Kasper Schmeichel making saves. At the end of the day, Marseille wasn't able to win, and Nice is on a run this week. 3 games at home against Lille, in the north, in Lens, and in Marseille. They won both games away against two of the best teams in Ligue 1. This is unprecedented. This is amazing from Didier Digard. Mind you, who did Nice get about a month ago, 2 months ago, I should say? Florent Gisolfi, the GM that made Lens almost what it is right now, has joined Ineos, has joined Nice. I don't know if it's him and Didier Digard combined, but it's working. The last 5 games, 4 wins, 1 draw, playing 3 of the best teams in Ligue 1 and getting wins every time they play them. The players have changed. Of course, Terem Moffi has joined Nice now, and it was his first game starting against Marseille. Diop and Laborde up front combine well. Laborde is a team that you want, I think, in any team that you have, such a selfless forward. Ramsey is getting a bit better. Khéphren Thuram has been fantastic. Of course, Jean-Claire Todibo in defense is such a rock next to Dante. And the newcomer from Turkey, Hendaye Şimiye, who just was recruited in the winter mercato, who had a lot of work against Marseille and who did pretty well. I think we need to keep an eye on this, not young, I think he's 25 years old, if I'm not mistaken, midfield/defender who came from Başakşehir to sign for Nice in the winter. We see a bit of youth coming from the bench as well. Bilal Brahimi, Hicham Boudaoui, Antoine Mendy came in, and Bilal Brahimi was rewarded by scoring a goal. So good for Didier Digard. Great start of life as a Nice manager with Julien Sabé as an assistant. For Igor Tudor, I think there's going to be some words in the locker room. There were probably some words at halftime already. And they're about to have a busy week. Marseille, of course, they're playing against Paris Saint-Germain in the French Cup on Wednesday night or Thursday morning here at 7:10 a.m. So 9:10 p.m. Wednesday night French time. And then they're going to Clermont, and then they're going to Toulouse, and then they are hosting Paris Saint-Germain again. So they're playing the French Cup and the league only, of course. There's no more European football for Marseille. But I think they want to get results in both those competitions, and that game against Paris Saint-Germain, that French Cup game at the Stade Vélodrome, is probably going to be the game to watch, of course, in midweek in French football. All right, that's about the game that I really watched and took time to analyze over the weekend. Again, I can't congratulate Nice enough on that run of game that they are on. The other results on the weekend, Monaco won 2-0 in Clermont. Ben Yedder stayed on the bench, but no issues. Brice Mbolo took over and scored. Auxerre and Reims 0-0. Reims were still undefeated for like ever now since Will Steele took over. Great run of play by the former football manager. Strasbourg, as I said, 2-0 against Montpellier. Ajaccio lost at home to Nantes 2-0. Not a great result for Ajaccio. Lorient and Angers 0-0. It's very good results for Angers, being able to grab a clean sheet at the Stade Le Moustoir in Brittany. Lorient probably would have hoped a better result against the worst team in Ligue 1. And Brest and Lens 1-1. Lens, who, yeah, I don't know if they're hitting a bit of a hard slope, but not able to win in Brest and barely getting the draw with the goal from Jonathan Gradit at the 83rd minute. I'm sure they would have loved a better result. We mentioned it, there's the French Cup in the middle of the week with, of course, the two games that we talked about, Lille against Lyon and Marseille against Paris Saint-Germain, will be the highlights. But then at the end of the week, of course, there's another match day. Match day 23, we'll see Nice playing against Ajaccio. Monaco, Paris Saint-Germain, of course, a game that nobody wants to miss. Clermont against Marseille. Toulouse against Rennes. Lille against Strasbourg. Montpellier against Brest. Angers against Auxerre. Reims against Troyes. Nantes against Lorient. And Lyon against Lens will close match day 23. A quick look at the table. We talked about the bottom at the top. Paris 54. Marseille and Lens 46. Monaco 44. Rennes 40. And then Lille 38. It's starting to be a little bit more stretched at the top of the table. The statistic, the best goal scorer since midweek, of course, is Folarin Balogun with 14 goals. It's not more a PSG player that is the leader. Behind him, it's Alexandre Lacazette with 13, and then Kylian Mbappé, 13 as well. Brice Mbolo coming up with 12 goals, followed by David, Neymar, Mofi, and Ben Yedder, all of them 12 goals as well. In the assist ladder, of course, Messi and Neymar still at the top with 10 assists each. That's it for Casser les Lignes. Thank you for listening. Subscribe, ask questions. Don't hesitate to retweet, repost, share this French football podcast. It's always a pleasure to talk to you guys about Ligue 1. I'm pretty excited about what's happening this week with the French Cup and that Marseille-Paris Saint-Germain game that, of course, I'll wake up to follow. And I hope that the ending will be different than that Marseille-Nice game. We're not going to hide that I am a Marseille fan. Thanks again. Merci for listening, and I'll see you guys next week.